This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week's podcast is brought to you by BHP. Copper is a big deal in the energy transition because it's used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. When it comes to producing copper responsibly, it's happening now at BHP. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Tuesday the 7th of May. In your Squiz today, Qantas's big payout, evacuations begin in Rafah, a sad end in Mexico, and some critters with your wine. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, we spoke last year about the Australian Consumer and Competition Commission, the ACCC, taking Qantas to court over claims that Qantas customers had been sold tickets for so-called ghost flights. They're ones that had already been cancelled. And yesterday, Qantas reached a settlement over that case.
That's right. So 86,000 affected customers will receive between $225 and $450 each. And that is on top of any other reimbursement that Qantas may have already provided. So in total, the settlement will cost Qantas $120 million. $20 million of that is for the payments to passengers, and $100 million is a civil penalty. As you said, it comes after Qantas booked and rebooked passengers on flights between the 1st of May 2022 and the 10th of May this year, after it had already decided to cancel them. ACCC Chair Gina Cass-Gottlieb labelled that egregious and unacceptable. And yesterday, Qantas boss Vanessa Hudson acknowledged they fell short of their own expectations and says they're sincerely sorry.
It's worth noting that the settlement still needs to be approved in the federal court. But Qantas says it will make those payments before then, and it will notify customers by text and email before the 10th of July. And alongside those payments, Qantas and Jetstar say they'll also start notifying customers now about cancellations as soon as practicable.
Yeah, so they say that that's going to happen within 48 hours of the cancellation. And they'll also stop selling cancelled flights within 24 hours. So that's to prevent this from happening again. The ACCC says that the deal shows that businesses must communicate clearly, accurately, and honestly with their customers at all times. But Consumer Group Choice says customers need a clear legal entitlement to compensation. It's calling for the establishment of a new travel and airline ombudsman scheme and stronger rights to refunds and compensation for cancelled flights.
And Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers spoke about this yesterday. He says the airline should count themselves lucky and paying up was the least they could do. And speaking of, it's a big day for Chalmers and others in the finance world. We're waiting to see if there's any movement on interest rates out of this month's Reserve Bank meeting. So we'll find out this afternoon. The Israel Defence Forces, or the IDF, have begun evacuating the southern Gazan city of Rafah, Siobhan. It's in preparation for Israel's long-awaited ground operation there.
Yeah, and as we've mentioned before, Alice, more than a million Palestinian civilians have been sheltering in Rafah after being displaced from other parts of Gaza during the war. The Israeli military says it needs to move 100,000 civilians from particular areas around eastern Rafah. And it's delivered flyers to civilians there, which say that it's about to move with force against terror organizations in the area you currently reside. And it also says it's going to expand the humanitarian area in nearby Al-Muwasi to accommodate those who are going to be displaced.
Yeah, but regardless of that, Israel's plans to invade Rafah have been condemned by world leaders for months. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says a ground assault there would put the final nail in the coffin on aid operations in Gaza. And US President Joe Biden has repeatedly told Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu that the US would oppose any such move. Siobhan, we spoke yesterday about several bodies found in a well in Mexico, two of which authorities suspected belonged to Aussie brothers Jake and Callum Robinson. And that's now been confirmed after their parents Deborah and Martin identified them yesterday.
Yeah, and their American friend Jack Carter Road has also been identified. Friends here in Oz have paid tribute to the brothers as beautiful human beings. They say Jake was a doctor who was about to start working at a hospital in Geelong and was remembered for his smile, laugh, and kindness. While the girlfriend of Callum, who was a professional player at the San Diego Lacrosse Club, said her heart was shattered into a million pieces. The brothers' parents said their only comfort is that they were together doing something that they passionately love.
And Mexican authorities have also shared more details about their murders. Their preliminary theory, as they're calling it, is that the trio was shot by thieves trying to steal their ute's tyres. Locals in the city of Ensenada, which is close to where the men were killed, have also mourned their deaths with a vigil. A message now from our podcast partner, BHP. We hear a lot about the transition to renewable energy, but not so much about how it's actually going to be achieved. That's why BHP is raising awareness about its efforts to not only produce essential resources for the transition, like copper, but also reduce the greenhouse gas emissions it produces in the production of those resources. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. And you can find out more by visiting bhp.com/critical. There's been plans to shut down Australia's 3G network for years now, but Siobhan, Telstra has delayed that over fears that hundreds of thousands of customers might not be able to make emergency calls. The telco was due to pull the plug on the older network at the end of next month, but it's now delaying the closure until the 31st of August.
Yes, and that's to give particularly regional Aussies more time to get a new phone and other devices. This is something that's been in the works, though, for about 5 years, with mobile phone companies planning to switch off 3G to boost data speeds for 4G and 5G. But a recent audit found that 400,000 users might not be able to get through to 000 on their old handsets, which is obviously a major concern. And Communications Minister Michelle Rowland has welcomed the delay, saying it's critical to manage the shutdown in a safer way.
And meanwhile, Optus is also planning to shut down its 3G network in September, which means it should be done and dusted by the time freshly announced CEO Stephen Rue takes the reins in November. Siobhan, you and I both like a good drop, and it's even better when it's matched with some delicious food. But I'm not too sure about this one you told me about yesterday. The latest offering from a South Oz winery is an edible insect wine pairing. It's part of the Panola Coonawarra Arts Festival.
Yeah, I'm very not sure about that either, Alice. Apparently, customers at the Patrick of Coonawarra Winery will be offered a completely new experience of ants, mealworms, and crickets, paired with both white and red wine varieties. And the owner says the idea came about because they really wanted to do something outside of the box to celebrate sustainability. And I think mission accomplished, Alice.
Yeah, it's definitely one way to get people thinking about the future and edible insects. But I think I might need to be feeling a bit buzzed to wash down the plate of crickets with my Cabernet, Siobhan.
Yeah, hard agree, Alice.
Siobhan, there's a lot happening today, especially at Squiz HQ, where in anticipation of next week's federal budget, we're dropping not one, but two special episodes today, one for News Club and one for Squiz Kids.
Yeah, Claire's done a fantastic interview for News Club with James Chessel, who until very recently was the managing director of publishing at Nine, so he oversaw the SMH, the Age and Financial Review. And they've had a great chat about how to unpick the federal budget because it can be really complex, especially if you're not a numbers person. Meanwhile, Bryce has sat down with the big man himself, aka Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers, who takes the Squiz Kids Q&A hot seat to answer questions from the kids of Australia. You can hear a promo for that at the end of this episode. So something there for both adults and kids to help get your heads around next week's federal budget.
And of course, Siobhan, let's not forget that from 8 a.m. this morning, if you're on the East Coast, the Met Gala red carpet kicks off in New York, so there's bound to be some amazing looks out of that.
Yeah, love a red carpet, Alice.
And that's us done for today. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
G'day, Kate Watson here, host of the News Club podcast, the place to go for conversations about the news. Never have we done an interview that has garnered so much positive feedback. I'm referring to my chat with Bernie Shakeshaft. He's the founder of Backtrack, a community-led organisation with a simple mission: keep kids alive, keep them out of jail, and help them chase their dreams. In the context of youth crime being a big news topic, I wanted to give you a chance to hear about his approach. Here's a snippet. Talk to me about that relationship between authorities and these kids, because they're already interacted at some level in most cases, as I understand it.
Yeah, let me take you back to the start, because when we first started, the coppers were going, oh, here we go. Every damn criminal in Armidale is going to be down here, bags not being their neighbours, and the cops would drive in and the kids would go out over the back fence, and this just went on for years, and it was just like, this is getting so stupid. So I sat with a good mate of mine. It wasn't always easy, I can tell you. He was the inspector, so one of the most senior cops, and I went, this is just stupid. Like, you know, you got a kid coming in here with 14 offences for riding his push bike. Let's just stop it. Hasn't been quick, but I doubt there would be another community in Australia that has as good a relationship with the police as we have with these 5% of rough and tumble kids that are in every single town. So those coppers come down here, but they make the coffee, and it's senior cops, and it's detectives, and it's the Aboriginal liaison officer, and it's the junior constable, and now you can see this relationship. When the kids do, they've got a little social enterprise going, car washing, you know, where they might have 50 cars to wash in a day or whatever, and people come down and have a coffee and a biscuit and a chat while they get their car washed. And so do the police, bring the highway patrol car down there and wash that. And when the dog squad come through, and like everyone in town, you watch it light up on social media, you know, don't know what's going on. There's like 20 cop cars down there at Backtrack. Shit must have
really hit
the bed.
They're just getting their cars washed.
Yep. Or goofing around with the dogs, you know. And once you break that stuff down, it really makes a difference, you know.
To listen to the whole interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app.